Praise God. Well, as Caitlin said, my name is Christine, and I am living in a world trying to live my best life, but not everyone else in the world is the same as me. So that's making it a little bit harder. I'm believing for John 17:4 to come to pass in my life. That is a life scripture for me. It says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing down to the last detail the work that you gave me to do. And that is a life scripture. That's something I live. That's something I have written up. That's something I really want to have in my life. But in order to do that, I need to be able to progress, and I'm progressing as much as I can. But sometimes it's easier to fulfill a scripture like that when there's not other people around you, because they're the ones that can cause me to stumble. Not talking about my husband, not talking about my amazing family. No, I'm joking. But look, my eyes are looking forward. I'm wholly committed to God and to His purpose. I'm a good Christian, but there is an enemy who doesn't want me to fulfill John 17:4. There is an enemy who does not want me to live my best life. He does not want me to fulfill down to the last detail what God put me on earth for. He doesn't want me to. And one of the tactics that he uses is other people. Other people that are not like me can often cause me to stumble and not be who I'm supposed to be. How many of you think it's a lot easier, you know, just being you? It's when other people are not you, and then there's all sorts of stuff happens. And so I want to really unpack something that God's been working in my life and working through me, not just today, but now, like for quite a few years, really, a message that God's been developing in my life. One of the easiest ways for other people, or for the enemy to use other people to get me off my path, is something simple called offense. Does everybody know what offense is? Just in case. I was just waiting to see who was the person who would say that first. Peter and Mark did it equally. Offense is something which is around your property. This is O-F-F-E-N-C-E. Okay. Opposite of defense. Yes, actually, if you're in America, that would very much be a football term as well. People play the offense. Okay. Offense is annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult to you or somebody showing disregard for you. So this is what the Webster's Dictionary says. It says, an offence is an annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult or by somebody showing disregard for you. Underneath that, in the Webster's Dictionary, it says, an offence can become a stumbling block. How many know that is true? An offence can become a stumbling block. It's impossible to live in a world where we don't get offended unless we get rid of all the other people. If you get rid of all of them, it's okay. If I had this planet totally on my own, I would never get offended. I'd be very lonely, but I would never, ever get offended. Because as long as there's people, even good people, wonderful people in my life, there is a huge opportunity to get offended. But it is imperative that even though the opportunities are there, that we make sure that we do not keep, hold on, or hoard those offences. We cannot stop people offending us, but we can stop ourselves from carrying those offences. Most people who know me know that I am a memory keeper. My husband knows I am a memory keeper. He tries to clean out areas in our house. He says, what's this? Why are you keeping that? Good. What's that? It's the first dress Caitlin ever wore. That's the outfit that Caleb was dedicated in. That's the first maternity outfit I ever bought. That's the cornflakes box that Caleb made me in prep his first week, and he brought it home and decorated it. And my husband is incredibly patient. He personally isn't a memory keeper, but he married one. And then just to add to it, I've raised two daughters, I'll have to say I, who are memory keepers. That wasn't his part of the raising. And so now Brooke has memory boxes all around the house because her room is not big enough to keep all of her memory boxes. And she's even better than me. She's got them all filed and they're all categorised. She has American Memories, American Memories 2011, American Memories 2013, American Memories are just to do with Brother Jerry, American Memories are to do with this. She's got them all in crates, and really mine are just memories everywhere, but she's done really well. I think Caitlin is, I have to ask Cam, I'm not sure whether she's more like me or Brooke, but they are both memory keepers. And that there's nothing wrong with being a memory keeper, and that you need a big house, but there's nothing wrong with being a memory keeper if that's what your nature is. But there is something significantly wrong about being an offence keeper. And sadly, there are a lot of offence keepers. There is a lot of people who, like Brooke, could have all their offences categorised. That's all the offences at church. That's all the offences at work. That's all the offences at my last work. That's all the offences from last week. This is the new box for this week. I know that sounds silly, but sadly, it is true. It is really true. You know, we had somebody quite a long time ago visit the church, and I'm honestly not exaggerating one bit. Within 5 minutes of me welcoming them, they had told me what was wrong with their last church, what was wrong with their pastor, why they had to leave, why they didn't like the life groups, why the Holy Spirit couldn't move, why this, why that, why that. And I was like, I had not got a word in except saying, welcome, it's lovely to have you here. And this spewed out. And then I'm like, let me show you to a seat. And walking down thinking, I'm not sure whether you're going to last. You know, like, it was so sad. And the sadder thing to me was afterwards, I think it was the following week, different people came up to me, at least three different people came up to me and said, do you remember that person that visited last week? All they told me was everything, every offence that had ever taken place at their past church, and the church before that, and the church before that, and the church before that. And then somebody else came and said, did you talk to that lady last week? Do you know all she told me? And obviously she was so full of it, so full of offence that the moment she opened her mouth, that came out. You know, one of Brooke's cupboards is so full of memories that the moment she opens the cupboard door, you've got to be careful because the memories come piling out because there's too many memories for this particular cupboard. We need a bigger cupboard. Well, this is what this lady was like. She, I don't know what she needed to get rid of the offences. But she had so filled herself up with offence, there was not room for God to do anything else. You know, it says in Matthew 12:34 that a paraphrase is, the mouth is the revealer of the heart. Or as the mouth, you know, what's in your heart is going to come out. I was listening to Rick Renner the other day and he said, you only need to speak to me for 2 minutes and you know God's called me to Russia. He said, I will talk about Russia as a country. I will talk about the move of God in Russia. I will talk about why God moved me from America to Russia. I will talk about my love for the Russian people. You only need to speak, you can't now because he's gone to be with the Lord, but you only needed to speak to Reinhard Bonnke for less than a minute, and you knew South Africa and Africa was in his heart. I remember a man that we knew who got to have a meal with Brother Bonnke, and he said even in his grace over a meal, he prayed for Africa before he prayed for the food because Africa is what's pouring out. You speak to our own pastor, the lampstand and Bayswater as a community is what comes out. It doesn't matter what he's talking about. That's what's there. And that, sadly, with some people, they're so full of offence that that's what comes out. The mouth reveals what the heart is full of. So yesterday, as Caitlin said, the family took Peter up to Yarrawonga for an early Father's Day celebration. It was an idea that she had come up with. It was a wonderful idea. Left home at 6:30 in the morning, gone home, I think, 11 p.m. last night. So we were tired, but we had just had an amazing day of making memories as a family. But on the way, if you know my family, you know we have to... The females in the family need two things, toilet stops and coffee stops. There they are connected. So we had planned out the toilet and the coffee stops. We had a four-hour car trip in the morning, and that one of the coffee stops was at a place called Glen Rowan. So a lot of you will know Glen Rowan, but let me just give you a really, really little brief knowledge of what Glen Rowan is. It's a very small town. The official population is 1,049. And it is famous for being the location where the final siege and capture of Ned Kelly and the Kelly Gang happened in 1880. The story and this phrase is written on when you come into the township. They said the story of Ned Kelly is preserved and retold here daily for people to know. And the honestly, every 40 minutes there is a reenactment. So you drive in and there's this one little street of shops, maybe 20 or so shops, I don't really know, from bakeries to a bank to, souvenir shops to everything. Every solitary shop has a reference to Ned Kelly or the Kelly Gang or the siege in their title. So it's not even just that they're surrounded. People dress up in period costumes. They're singing songs about it. It is preserved and retold on a daily basis. The people of all ages spend their whole day reenacting and telling the story of the infamous bushranger to everyone and anyone who purposely or accidentally stumbles into that town. We had not gone there to hear about Ned Kelly. A lot of schools will take excursions there, so they purposely want to know. We'd gone there to get coffee and find a bathroom. That was all we needed. But we learned so much, and we saw all these people. And whether you were buying a coffee or you were standing outside the coffee shop, people were continually talking and telling you. Now, there's nothing wrong with that because it's a tourist attraction. So that is good. Okay? But last night as I was driving home, as we were driving home late, Peter was driving, I was thinking, the Lord gave me this epiphany. He said, how many people have built their own Glen Rowan? How many people have preserved every offence that's ever happened to them and are daily reenacting or retelling it to everybody who accidentally or purposely comes into their life? How many people are so full of that offence? Like those people yesterday were so full of Ned Kelly. It was like, whoa, it was really full on it sometimes, And that there's how many people are so full of it, they've built their own Glen Rowan. And what started years ago, they said as a historical marker, has now become a full town where people go there and move there so they can reenact what happened. And it's become a major tourist attraction in Victoria. You know, as I was praying regarding this message, the Lord brought to me a lady who I knew many years ago in my past. And she could literally give you the time and date, and I'm not exaggerating, of all the time she'd been slighted in her life. She was the same age as me. So when we knew each other, we were in our maybe 40s, heading into 50s. And that she could tell everybody that her parents had never allowed her to pursue the vocation that she wanted to when she was a 16-year-old. She used to tell everybody her parents had never given her the present she wanted on her 8th birthday. On her 50th birthday, she was retelling that at her party. That on her 8th birthday, she was so disappointed because her parents did not give her what she wanted. Her husband had once criticized her style of mothering. And I didn't meet her husband for many years after I'd met her for a long time before and knew her as a friend before I met her husband. But she kept telling me, because my husband, that once he came home and he had criticized the way I mothered. She criticized the pastor's wife at the church she went to because she said the pastor's wife didn't show her enough support. When she wanted to do a business venture, she asked the pastor's wife about it, and the pastor's wife suggested she should pray. That offended her. So she left the church and that, but continued to tell everybody who the pastor's wife was and to tell them how offended she was. And the list went on and on and on, literally. And it was only as we were driving home last night, the Lord said, you know why that particular woman and that is like that? Because she has preserved everything which has ever been done for her, and she has kept it there and is ready to reenact it and is ready to retell it. She has perfect recall when it comes to offences, but not as much when it comes to blessings. God doesn't want us to have perfect recall when it comes to offences. The Bible tells us offences will come. We have to choose to not let them stay. I don't want to become a Glen Rowan. I don't want to become somebody who preserves all the things. Believe me, you be in the ministry for a year, people will offend you. People will say things and you will offend them. It's human nature. But you know what? You throw them off because it's more important to me that I'm fulfilling John 17:4, that I'm doing down to the last detail what God has told me to do, than I'm making sure you all know everybody who's ever offended me. You know, I love 1 Corinthians chapter 13, famous chapter, the love chapter. Verse 5 says that love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love keeps no record of being wronged. Love keeps no record of being wrong. You know, we need to be people who have no track record of when we're wrong. We will be wronged because that is human nature. People, unless you live in a world on your own without anybody else, there will be opportunity for offence. There will be opportunity to be wronged. There will be people who will purposely offend, and then there will be people who accidentally offend you. There will be perceived offences as well as real ones. But you know what? I want to be like from 1 Corinthians 13. I want to be the person that says, I am not easily irritated or quick to take offence. I keep no record of being wronged. I love not to have a good memory when it comes to people doing wrong things to me. You know, when the kids were growing up, I had one of my styles of parenting was often taking scriptures and inserting their names into it and getting them to say it continually. And this was one. And all my kids grew up knowing they had to be able to say, Caitlin is patient, Caitlin is kind. Caitlin said that, not the others, okay? They all had to say it about themselves. And I had it written up on all their rooms when they were children, that the love chapter from chapter 13, instead of the word love, saying their own names, because that was the characteristics I wanted them to grow up with. And I remember it had Caitlin, Caleb, Brooke Jordan, all of them, and that are not easily irritated or quick to take offence, and they keep no record of being wronged. And we say that about ourselves. That's what we want to be. And that I want to be a person who keeps no record of being wronged. Now, I just want to show you a 60-second, so I'm giving my husband the hint here, a 60-second clip of a movie. You don't need to understand the context of the movie. It's a Hallmark movie, boy meets girl, girl meets boy, they fall in love. Everything happens lovely at the end, 90 minutes. And that I love Hallmark movies. But there's one phrase in this Hallmark movie that always stuck out to me. And I'll give you a little bit of the background as they're getting it. The reason Peter needs to go out is because he's going to have to cut live stream for 1 minute. Otherwise, we'll be put off because I'm showing something that is commercial. But this is a guy and girl who grew up together as children, haven't seen each other for years, come back together. There's obviously feelings there. But one of the things is that the girl has got all these offences about this guy, things that he used to do as a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old. So now as a 25, 28-year-old, she's come back and all she can think of is all the things that he used to do. And this is a phrase which we often joke about in our home, and if I can get them just to put it up, just listen carefully.
Hey, everybody. I'm sorry we have to cut this. It's because we're showing something. We can't have it going through our live stream. Otherwise, the copyright people jump in and then we lose our live stream. So we can't even just block it. So I'm sorry for this. I will just tell you that how much I'm enjoying this sermon so far. Thank you, Peggy. I love you. Arawonga to you. And what a great illustration regarding Glen Rowan. Can you give me a shout out if you've been to Glen Rowan or ever traveled through there and seen it? And yeah, the stores, the giant Ned Kelly, everything around that that town is designed to keep the legend for them, the anti-hero, however you want to phrase it. They want to keep that alive. And I encourage you that, what a great thought. We don't want to be a Glen Rowan in our lives around offences. And so it's really powerful that we can learn how to do this. Okay, here we go. Back.
Use that phrase in our family. You know, this movie was made, about 2021, I think? And I love that concept. You're throwing out an offence because he, stole a fries or a soda. And so all these years later, 25 years later, she can still name the date and the time. And that she certainly had preserved that. And that comes from a person who is an offence keeper. And I love the phrase he used, both from the movie, Disney have made it famous, but you just have to let it go. Maybe it's time to let it go. It says in Proverbs 19:11 in the Amplified Classic, good sense makes a man restrain his anger, but it is his glory to overlook a transgression or an offence. I want to be the person who is overlooking offences rather than preserving them. You know, in 2010, I was introduced through a mutual friend to another pastor's wife. I didn't know the person, I'd never met them in my life before. But I did know because, you know, the grapevine, which I hate the phrase, but that a few years before, her and her husband had pastored in another state, and a lot of really, really bad, hard things had happened. And my version of the things I heard from everybody else was that he was shafted by the church board and ended up losing everything. And I didn't know them back then, so I wasn't part of the situation, and it wasn't even in this state. But then they'd moved to Victoria, and this was 5 years later when I was introduced. And I still remember that we talked and kind of clicked, we hit it off. We became friends and started meeting for coffee. And we'd been probably friends for 2 or 3 months, and it dawned on me she'd never ever mentioned anything that had happened. And yet they had literally lost everything financially. They'd lost their home, they'd lost everything because of the situation that had happened with the board. And so one day we were sitting having lunch, and I said to her, I called her by name, I said, you know what? I said, you never ever talk about your past. You never talk about what happened in that particular state. I said, what happened? And she said, that's in the past. It's not in my present. It's not in my future. She said, I don't need to talk about it. She said, what happened is between us and God and them and God. And she said, no other person needs to become a part of this. That was probably late in 2010 when she said that to me. 14 years later, I meet her all the time. She's never ever said a word, never even referenced a name, never referenced anything to do with something which was obviously a horrific situation. And, you know, as I was thinking and praying and preparing this message, I thought, Lord, that's so true, that I'm sure there was a lot of offences. I'm sure there was a lot of hurt. I don't know what happened. I don't know who was right or wrong. And I'm pleased that I don't. Because you know what? I can go through my life and maybe the people who did that to them, maybe I know them, maybe I don't. I have no idea, because she made a choice when that happened that she said she would never speak to anybody but God about it. She said she wasn't there to, she said that's between them and God. It's between us and God. And it's true when Song of Solomon says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And most of the time those little foxes are disguised as people. They don't come on four legs. And those people will offend. How many of you have heard the phrase, and you know, until recently I used to use it a lot, no offense, but. In other words, that's a disclaimer. I'm about to say something that's going to offend you, but I've put my disclaimer there so you can't say anything. And it was as I've begun praying and studying this out, I thought, Lord, how many times do I say that? You know, no offense, but, you know, no offense, but. And that, and I just thought, Lord, again, I don't want to be, I'm going to get Mark and Kirsty if you can come up. I don't want to be the person who takes offense and preserves it and keeps it. I'm just going to move. Maybe if I could get Cam, could you just move the pulpit for me? Sorry. Thank you. Yes, just off to the side. As I'm just going to keep on speaking, but Mark and Kirsty are just going to help me. Offenses can come in all shapes and sizes. It can be being overlooked for a promotion that you felt that you deserved and somebody else got. It can be parents not allowing you to study and choose the vocation that you want to, and then 40 years later you actually are making rash decisions based on that offence. It's as simple as the pastor didn't greet you on Sunday. I know that's shocking, but sadly it happens. It's the fact that you were not invited to a party and everybody else was. I don't know how many of you have ever had that happen. Joyce Meyer shares a story which really just so defines this so well, where she said when her ministry was very well known but not to the degree it is now, but she said in the city where she ministered, she, you know, she had obviously a very large ministry, and she said she found out that one of the big churches were putting on a big event and they wanted... And they were inviting all the ministries around to come and to be part of it. It was the opening of a new facility and then a party that followed. But she never got invited. And she said every day she was looking in the mail and she'd say to her PA, did anything come from this church? Did anything come from this church? And it didn't and it didn't and it didn't and it didn't. It got closer to the time. And in the end, she said, my offense tank was full and overflowing. And she said, I wanted to tell everybody on my TV show what I thought about that church, but she said I was mature enough not to, but she said it was still in there, it was festering. And that, she said, the opening and the party came and went, and she said, you know, she was mad. She said, and she had actually seen the pastor a couple of times, you know, in a local shopping area. She said she'd look the other way and just walk off. She was so upset. She said the fact that they could shun her like that. And then she said it was about 3 or 4 weeks after the party that she said one of the admin staff came and apologised to her and they said, we're sorry. They said this letter got mixed up quite a while ago in somebody else's mail and it was the invitation to that event. So she had been invited, but she had, rather than choosing the fact, look, there must be something wrong, or just thinking, well, hey, I've got no idea, she said she'd chosen the path of offence. And then to find out that they actually had invited her from the very get-go. And so then she found out the pastor was offended as to why she didn't respond. And then he was actually thinking, she's too big for her boots. She thinks that Joyce Meyer's too big to come to the opening of my church. So you had two different people offended, all because a PA has put a letter in a wrong pile and it hasn't got picked up. How many times can mistakes, genuine mistakes, cause that? And that's where you say, well, Lord, I don't understand why I wasn't invited, but you know what? I'm still going to keep going and I'm not going to let that offence be there. Maybe it's because the visiting minister didn't pray for you, but he prayed for somebody else who you don't think needed it as much as you did. Believe me, you may laugh, but these things happen. I have had people walk out of meetings with people like Brother Jerry or Brother Jesse offended because they didn't get prayed for, but somebody else did. And doesn't God know that they deserve it more? So then they walk out offended. The suggestion or idea that you submitted at the Grow Team touch point was overlooked by your Grow Team leader. Grow Team leaders. Now, you have no idea. Maybe that your Grow Team leader is thinking, well, that's a good suggestion, but I'll shelve that for another day. Or maybe they're working on it behind the scenes. Or maybe there's a reason they know that it doesn't fit in. How about just the fact that God didn't answer your prayer on time? Yeah. So you don't even have a person in the middle to get offended. You actually just get offended with him. Yeah. And you get upset because I had asked for that breakthrough. I needed that money and it hasn't come through. What about the fact that you didn't get a reserved seat at the special meeting? What about the fact that Pastor Christine had written out all the reserved signs and there was not one with your name on it? You're glad I brought that up. What about the fact that somebody shared a testimony on Sunday of a financial breakthrough they were believing for and saw, but you haven't got yours? So you're offended with God and you're offended with the other person. What about the fact that your husband didn't compliment you when you got your hair done and you walked in? And that what has happened is, if I have read out all of these offences, is these offences have actually become offence. And they are stopping me from being able to move forward. I am fenced in by the offences. And until I kick these over and get rid of them, I'm not going to kick them over, we're going to burn them, but until I get rid of these, I have fenced myself in. Offences have fenced me in from fulfilling down to the last detail what God has called me to do. And you know what? There's other people waiting on me fulfilling what God has called me. Thank you, Mark and Kirsty. There's other people waiting on the other side that are waiting for me to fulfill my calling so they can be touched. Maybe they're the Betty Crockers from Yarrawonga. Okay, maybe, and that, you know, imagine if she'd been offended and got offended with somebody and had let these offences build her in. So then scenario. I hope your mum's not watching, Peter. Peter's mum could have done something to offend that lady. Neighbours can easily do that, okay? So she could have done something to offend that lady. So then that lady didn't turn to her. That lady went somewhere else. And then there was a lineage waiting, but offence had stopped that woman from doing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am totally fenced in here because of the offences that I have let to stay with me. I have preserved the offences to the point that they are now fencing me in. I can't move forward at all because of these offences. These boxes may represent people who have offended me, but it is my choice to hold on to them, and that now is impeding my desire to move on in God. And to quote that Hallmark movie where he said, 1997, I think you should let that go. I think of that lady that told me when she was 8 years old she didn't get the birthday present. This is your 50th birthday party. I think you should let that go. You know, you see, the offences are not hurting the person who caused them. The offences are hurting me. And, you know, some of these offences represent people who would never even know. You know, Jerry Seville wouldn't know who he'd prayed for and who he didn't pray for. He's moving in the anointing of God. He doesn't choose to not pray for a person. He could leave this, he would have left this country and have no idea there's people offended because he didn't lay hands on them. Then you have other people who have actually done something wrong and they know, but they don't care. Okay? They don't care. They don't ask you for forgiveness. Then you got people who, like with Joyce Meyer, it can be total misunderstanding. And you got, you know, one pastor who's offended that she's too big to come to my church And she's thinking, well, what does they think they are that they're not going to invite me? Do you understand? Total miscommunication. But it has caused an offence that has fenced them in. Whether people intentionally or unintentionally offend us, we need to be able to move on. You know, Brooke loves to run. We were going to do an illustration with this, so we're going to do it on the screen. She loves to do half marathons. That's her happy place, is running a half marathon. If you could put the pictures up for me, Jay. And you know what? She can do a half marathon and she can grab a little weight. How much are those little weights? About a kilo, okay? They used to be Levi's little weights when he had his workouts. So she can grab a little weight and it's not really going to impede her that much. But then she can grab another little weight and then another little weight and another little weight. Now suddenly she's got 4 kilos that she's trying to run with. Then she can, eventually, if you add them up, she can have a 20-kilo barbell that she's trying to run with. And I may not be a sports person, but I think it'd be very hard to do a half marathon carrying a 20-kilo barbell. I'll let Chris or Brooke, you know, correct me on this. But it would slow down her ability. And that's what it's like with offences. It starts at one. It started at one box. And one box I could probably step over. But then I got 2 boxes and 3 boxes and 4 boxes and 5 boxes and suddenly it's a harder. All these little weights end up being a big barbell, and because I've kept them all, you know, you imagine Brooke is running with a backpack, and every time she sees a little barbell, she puts in a backpack. She's probably not going to make the 21 Ks, a half marathon. I'd say she's going to conk out well towards the beginning because she's putting all these things in a backpack. They say, there's a famous saying that says Rome wasn't built in a day. Yesterday I thought Glen Rowan wasn't built in a day. It did literally start as a historical marker. For those who want to know what it is, a historical marker is either some kind of a plate that's in the ground that will have an engraving of what happened there, or it can sometimes be a post with a sign. But it started as a historical marker. Then they added a coffee shop where people could sit and talk about the historical marker. Then they added a souvenir shop where you could actually take a piece of the historical marker home with you. Then they added et cetera, et cetera. The spirit of offence is not built in a day. I don't want any historical markers of offence in my life at all, because soon those historical markers will become coffee shops. So when I meet one of you for coffee, suddenly it all comes out. I talk about the historical marker. Then that coffee shop can become a souvenir shop where I'm actually sending it home with you. Transferred offence. Somebody's offended me. I've told Graham all about it. Then Graham sees that person and suddenly he's offended. He's offended on my behalf. And that soon I have a town. I have a town which is built on offence. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me. Somebody had really hurt me. And badly, it was somebody I trusted and I was really blindsided. I still remember going and sitting at the kitchen table and I was crying. And the Lord said to me really strongly, because I knew it wasn't somebody I could just walk away from. It would be somebody that would in some capacity still be in my life for a long time. God said to me, you can hold this offense and go on and let it stop you and heed you from what I've called you to do, or you can actually get rid of it. He said, you need to choose to forgive. The person hadn't asked me to forgive them. The person didn't think they needed to. That's fine. That at the time it wasn't fine. It's fine now. But God said, you can choose to forgive, and then you have to make another choice, and that is to burn the ship and not go back. The phrase burn the ship comes from a historical event Some may or may not know it. But it was during the Spanish conquest of Mexico in 1519 AD, where a Spanish commander named, I don't know if this is how you pronounce it, but Hernan Cortes, hopefully it sounds good, he made the phrase known because as they marched inland with his army, Cortes ordered one of his men to go back to the beach with a single instruction, go and burn our ships. This is literal. Because he wanted to send a clear message to his men and his army that there is no turning back. We either win or we die, but we don't retreat. And you know that phrase, that day, which has become very well known by King and Country, who wrote a song about it, burn the ships. Caitlin preached a message, I think it was 2 years ago, and I'd love to get the comms team to put up the link for that message called Burn the Ships. And that, but for me, that moment in the kitchen when the Lord said, are you going to burn the ships? You can take this offense for the rest of your life, or you can make a decision now that you're going to burn the ships. And you know, it's always been my desire to fulfill to the last detail what God told me to do and called me to do. So I didn't want to let anything heed me from that. So I wrote down the person's name on a piece of paper and I wrote down what they'd done and I went out in their backyard and I set a match to it. And that was it. That was the end of that offence. I've never spoken about it since. I know I'm using reference to it, but I'm not actually speaking about the offence. Because to be honest, the offence doesn't actually concern me. And last night when I was writing out my notes, I suddenly thought, I can't actually genuinely remember exactly what they did. And I didn't even try to stop and dredge it up. And that's become my go-to. If people offend intentionally or unintentionally, I write it down and I set a match to it. When we've gone through situations as families, we've been known to have bonfires in the backyard where we'll throw things in. And it may seem as though it's funny or it may seem as though it's kind of like quirky, but for me it's significant because when I see that going up in flames, I know that I'm free. I am free to walk forward. I am free to be everything God has wants me to be. And because living my best life is so important to me that I don't want to preserve offences. I don't want to preserve hurts. I don't want to be able to say, hey, look how many people have offended me. Look at this, look at that. I don't want that at all. I want to be free to run a half marathon without any weights. I want to be free to walk forward without being fenced in, literally. I want to be free to do what God's called me to do. And you know what? The topic of this series is how to live your best life when not everybody's the same as you. One of the ways is burn the ships. Burn the ships. So today I want to give you the opportunity. Maybe you've never been offended in your life. Maybe nobody's ever done anything wrong to you. I'm not sure if that's possible, but, you know. But if there's things in your life that you know that you need to burn, you know, it's a lot easier to forgive somebody when they ask for it. But a lot of times when people offend you, they don't ever ask for forgiveness. And yet you have to choose to forgive anyway. Because you're not actually holding them back, you're holding yourself back. That doesn't mean I have to walk in a relationship with them. There's people who, you know, I probably wouldn't catch up with for coffee now, not because I'm bitter, not because I'm offended. But we're walking two different paths now and I burned those ships and that's fine. If I see them, I can clearly say hello to them. I don't hide, I don't talk about people, I don't do anything like that. But, you know, there's something I really believe God's saying to us this morning, that don't keep offences as historical markers, because they will become coffee shops and then they'll become souvenir shops and then they'll become a town where people are making their living out of that historical marker. So We are going to, in a minute, go move outside for anybody who would like to come out. And Mark is going to help us burn our ships. So all the fences that are representing a fence, Mark is going to burn outside. And while we do that, we're going to sing a song which I love, one of my favourite songs, a praise song, gratitude. We're going to lift up our hands and we're going to praise God. We're going to do it out in the car park while Mark is burning the ships. And if there is anything in your life, we've got pen and paper down here. If there's anything that you want to write down and you want to throw that in the fire as well, please do that. There's things I'm going to put there that we do this regularly because people offend you regularly. And that, you know, and I want you to today feel I can be free. Maybe you're offended with God. Maybe you're sitting here thinking it's not fair. God, it's not fair. Just write it down. You don't have to write an essay. Nobody else is going to read it. It's going in the fire. You can write it in two or three words as long as you know what it represents. And that, you know, you can just write it in letter, you know, just single letters. Doesn't matter. You can say, I choose to forgive, and you can put initials there. You're throwing it straight in the fire. Nobody else is going to see it. This is between you and God. But I really want to tell you, God has called everybody here to a destiny and everyone who's watching on live stream. And for you to fulfill that to the last detail, what God has put you on this earth for, you have to make sure there's no historical markers that represent offense. I want historical markers that represent gratitude. I want historical markers that represent miracles. I want to remember those things. And I want to build coffee shops around them. And I want to have souvenir shops. And I want you to come to my house and I want you to say, look what the Lord has done. God did this for me. Look what God provided. Look what God did. Look at the miracle God brought. Historical markers, like the fact Josie's here this morning and God has healed her. That's a historical marker that we want to keep and we want to celebrate and we want to build a coffee shop and we want to build a souvenir shop around that. But I don't want to build historical markers and building coffee shops and souvenir shops around this person offended me. And when I was 8 years old, this happened. And when I was 30 years old, this happened. Or my husband didn't do this. Or my son didn't do this. Or whoever. It doesn't matter. It could be your primary school teacher. And that I want to build historical markers around the blessings, around the miracles, around the things that I'm thankful for. But the rest of them, I want to put them in the bin. I want to burn them. I want to set sail to them. I want to say, burn those ships. And I don't want to ever think about them again. I don't want them to come back in my mind because they are no longer a part of what I am walking into. So I want you to all stand with me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get... Maybe Cam, if you could, I know you guys have got to get the guitars. John, could you come and could you carry this table that's got the pens and the paper? And I want you to carry it. We're going to take it outside and we're going to bring the children and that and we're going to come out and we're going to just praise the Lord for the last 10 minutes or so. We're going to be lifting up Jesus, glorifying Jesus. And then at the end, we're going to throw those things in the fire as when Mark has got this fire going. We're going to throw them in and we're going to see, I believe, today can be a defining line in the sand where you move into what God's got you to, where you move towards your best life yet, where you move towards the people who are waiting for you to live your best life yet, because you have said it's a line in the sand. No longer am I going to carry those offenses. No longer am I going to fill my backpack with those little 1 kilo weights. No longer am I going to let all these boxes, you can take them, thank you, Mark, that I can let all these boxes that offense me in. I'm not going to let them be a part of me any longer because my future is too important. My future is waiting on me getting rid of these in Jesus' name. So will you come on out with us? If you can make your way out, the guys are going to bring the guitars and we're going to come out and we're going to worship. Now, Peter is going, I'm not sure what you're going to do with live stream. He's going to work that out. Everybody else, come on out and let's come and be part of what God's doing outside.